let me introduce you to who I am. I guess it's always important to know who's delivering the message and who's receiving the message. So first and foremost, my name is Andy Wilson. I'm originally from Decatur, Illinois, but throughout life I've moved here and there and everywhere else. I am a graduate of Lincoln Christian College. Just to let you know, Jesse is older than I am, okay? He graduated like 2 or 3 years before me, so he is older. Him and my cousin were pretty good friends growing up. And I've done some church camps with Jesse, so I do know him fairly well, and it is an honor to be here to preach in front of you guys this morning. A couple things about me, just so you guys have an idea of who I am. I've been in and out of ministry for about 16 years. Right now, we are currently in Danville, Illinois. I am not pastoring a church or a youth ministry or anything like that. I actually work for an agency called the Center for Youth and Family Solutions. Have you guys ever heard of that? Probably not. Let me rephrase that. I am a caseworker for DCFS. So that's currently what I do right now. And it is one of the most difficult positions I've ever been in my life. The stuff that I see day in and day out, it literally takes my heart and rips it apart on a daily basis. Because I see what the kids of today literally go through. And I ask myself on a daily basis, God, why do you have me here? It's a legitimate question. For legitimate pain, for legitimate society, why am I going through this pain? So how do I deal with that? Through lots of struggle, through sometimes tears in my eyes, I sit in my boss's office and say, I don't want to do this anymore. Going home to my wife saying, I can't do this anymore. To her saying, grow up, you're a grown man, you can take care of it. But how do I get through it? There's one word that gets me through it. I learned this word when I was about 14 or 15 years old. I am a drummer. I've been playing the drums for about 25 years. So I started in a band when I was 15. And I was taking drum lessons with this individual, and he owned a music store, and he's like, hey, we're looking for a drummer. Are you interested? And I was like, at 15, it didn't matter what kind of music you were going to play. You're like, dude, I'm in a band. That's so cool. And so I took the chance, and this band taught me a lot about, as a praise and worship band, it taught me a lot about who I was and who I was in Christ, and really, they were a Pentecostal, and I was not Pentecostal, and so it taught me a lot about stuff that I've never seen or experienced before in my life. But one word that changed the way that I look at life and gets me through on a daily basis, it was the name of our band. It was Tefillah. It's Hebrew. We're going to talk a lot about that word Tefillah, because in a hard circumstances, this is the word that's going to get you through what you need to get through. All right, you ready? I'm going to make you say it, so be prepared. All right, Tefillah. That was really quiet. This is actually a word that means singing prayers. That means you're excited about what Jesus has done. It's Hebrew. They didn't just go into the Tefillah. All right, say it with your heart. Say it like you mean it. Say it like you want to worship Jesus with it. Ready? That's much better. Tefillah, singing prayers. When we sing and we worship God, we're worshiping. We are doing tefillah. We're saying, God, I'm going to take you inside of me and I'm going to bring you out. Tefillah. What does it even mean? I'm glad you asked. Tefillah means this. Tefillah comes from the Psalms 145. If you have your Bibles open to it, we're going to read through it. We're going to kind of skip around through Psalms 145. I'm going to read the first few verses, and then we will go on from there. So I'll give you a second to turn to it. As you're turning, I'm just going to let you know that I am reading from the ESV. So if it sounds a little different than the NIV or the KJV, it's the ESV. All right, it says this. It says, I will extol you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. I'm going to stop because I want to look at that first verse. I want you to see what tefillah really is. I want you to look at this. It says, I will extol you, my God and my King. Extol. What in the world is extol? Exalt. It means a little bit more. It's close. But what does exalt mean? It means to praise enthusiastically. How many of you have kids? I've got two. I've got a 13-year-old girl. And I, yes, thank you. And I have a 7-year-old boy. My son is the most enthusiastic person I have ever met. Especially the past 2 weeks have been crazy in my house, if you know what I mean. That boy tires me because he has so much energy and he's so excited about life. And he's like, Dad, 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 Dad. And then on top of that, we have two brand new puppies, which are 11 weeks old. Dad, look at the puppies. Dad, look at the puppies. Dad, look at the... Enthusiasm is catchy, though. My daughter's 13 years old. She's very enthusiastic about show choir. She's very enthusiastic about travel softball. How many of us are enthusiastic about Jesus? How many of us actually extol Jesus on a daily basis? If I did not sit and praise God on a daily basis, then I would let this job consume me. I told you before that I see stuff that I wish I never would have seen. But I have to constantly remind myself, Jesus, you're bigger than this. Jesus, you are the one that brings hope to this. You are the one. You are the light to this community. There's nothing else that matters. You are the one. You are the one. You are the one. I'm going to extol you. And because I can do that, my attitude is no longer on my circumstances, but it is enthusiastically upon Jesus. Tefillah is this. It's extolling him. It's praising him. Every day. Psalm 119, 164 says, seven times a day I praise you. How many of us spend seven times a day praising God? Probably hardly any of us. I know I struggled with it. I still struggle with it. That we take time back and we just sit and say, God, okay, I'm just going to take time. I'm going to just thank you for what you have done. I'm going to meditate on what you have done. Psalm 119 says, also says this in 171, 172. May my lips overflow with praise. Because here's what Jesus says. It says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I can guarantee you, I know exactly how you think by the way that you talk. Because it's going to overflow from here to here. I deal with youth on a daily basis. I deal with people that try to lie to me on a daily basis. Because, and you know what? Here's the thing. I know their heart because of what they're saying to me. They tell me one thing, but I know that their heart is saying something different. For example, I had a lady come into my office last week, or 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry. And she was telling me one thing, but I knew exactly that she was lying to me because I had evidence that she did not do what she was supposed to do. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you're trying to lie, it always comes out. I guarantee it. Why? Because, as I said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Tefillah is praising him. Tefillah is think about what you are thinking about. You know how many times I have to tell my 13-year-old that same statement? Girl, you better think what you're thinking about. Because at 13, sometimes, okay, I'm going to be honest, she has an attitude. She's a 13-year-old girl. If there's 13-year-old girls in here, you're probably in the same boat. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. No, she's a good kid. But she wants to be popular. She wants to be like this person over here. She wants to be like this person over here. And I'm like, Zoe. I was like, why? You're trying to think like they think. You're trying to think like the world thinks and trying to think like what Jesus is trying to tell you, who you are. You're taking advantage of what the world says instead of what the word says. Tefillah. Praise him every day. Think about what you're thinking about. How many of us play golf? Any golfers in here? Two? Three? All right. So we're in the same crowd. So I'm going to talk to you two. Everybody else can just close your ears for like 2 seconds, all right? Golf is one of those fickle sports. I love to play it, but I hate to play it. Because when I'm sitting there, there's a trick to golf. It's even to baseball. Baseball is like my sport. I absolutely love baseball. I love coaching my daughter. I love seeing her progress. But there's one trick when you're batting. There's one trick when you're playing golf. What is that? Keep your eye on the ball. I'm left-handed. So when I'm getting ready to golf and I look down at the ball, I stand here like this. And then all of a sudden when I come back like this to swing, what do? I peek. And so which way does my ball go? It goes that way. And as I'm batting and a ball's coming in and I look up for 1 second, what do? Twist my hips, I swing, and the ball does what? It goes right past. Why? Because I'm not looking at the main thing. I'm not looking at the purpose. I'm looking at what it needs to be and where it needs to go. When we are looking at tefillah, when we are looking at Jesus, we are looking at where it needs, we're looking at here and now, because you know what? We know that Jesus has the future for us. We know that Jesus is the one. How many of us are meditating and focusing upon Jesus? What is the opposite of meditation and focus on Jesus? Do you know what it is? It's worry. I tell you, I'm a person of worry. I'm a much better now than I used to be. I used to worry about the littlest stuff, which meant absolutely nothing. I had no control over it. Most worry, it's like this. I heard somebody once say, it's like sitting in a rocking chair, going back and forth and going nowhere. About two, three years ago, I got a membership at the YMCA over in Danville. And I was on that treadmill. I was running like 2.5 miles every other day. I mean, I was cooking. I lost like 30-some pounds. I was in shape. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I was in that gym at 10 a.m. running. I ran a lot of miles on that same treadmill and went nowhere. Sometimes that's the way I feel it is with our Christian life. We do a lot of motions, but we're not focused on tefillah. We're not focused on Jesus. Because when we have Jesus inside of us and we let him guide our steps, then we start to see the progress being made. Some of the best times that I have is when I sit back and I start writing out my prayers, because I'm totally focused and meditating on what I'm saying to God and then what God is saying to me. So often we want to put the cart before the horse. And I'm telling you, when you understand tefillah and the experience that it has and the worship, it's so awesome to be so thankful. Psalm 48:9 says this: "We have thought of your steadfast, O God, in the midst of your temple." Psalm 119:15, "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees." How many of us are thankful for what has happened in our lives? How many of us tell God how much we're thankful for what has happened in our lives? I was a youth pastor in Danville for off and on for about 10 years at Vermilion Heights Christian Church. And one of the days, I was just having a bad day. And if you've ever been in ministry, you know that sometimes you can just have a rough day. And I remember this very, very vividly. We were coming out of our fellowship hall, and I don't know what happened. I was just kind of in my own head, and I really felt God say, look at the clock. There's a clock on the wall, and he said, look at the clock. And I'm like, okay, you know, like, why am I looking at a clock? It says like 9:30 in the morning. And he goes, just, are you thankful for that clock? And I'm like, should I be? And then he's like, just praise me for that clock. And I was like, well, okay, you know, as silly as it sounded, I was like, God, thank you for that clock. And at that moment, I remember very vividly my day changed and did a 180, because my focus was no longer on my problems, but my focus was on the one that controlled the outcome. My focus was on God and on what he has done. So tefillah is this. Tefillah is praising him every day. Tefillah is, think about what you're thinking about. And then tefillah is focusing on the works of God. How many of us will protect our heart from anything and everything except what God has? Psalm 91 is very, very vivid about this. It's like a fortress. My kids, when it's really cold outside, one of the things that my kids love to do, excuse me, is that they take a card table and that they put it in the living room, and then they put blankets all over it, and then they make a fortress, and then they watch movies all day, and they put books on top of it because they put, you know, the blankets on to hold it up, and you can't get through, and the dogs are going crazy, and I can't see the TV from my spot, which is kind of frustrating too, but you know what, anyway. And so they're building this fortress. And I remember one time my son was down there and he goes, Dad, you want to come into our fortress? Nobody can get you. And I'm like, all right. And then I come in and then he bombards me with Nerf darts. I guess I penetrated his fortress and I wasn't allowed to. I don't know. But in his mind, that fortress protected him from everything. But as soon as he left that fortress, what happened? Things fell apart. I remember a couple years ago, there was an instance in my life where I left the fortress and I took my eyes off God. And it was the darkest period in my life that I've ever had. I fought and fought and fought to get back. God never left. I did. And God is saying, I will protect you in the fortress. I will protect you right here. And how to stay in that fortress is to keep your focus upon God and to continue to give praise and to give praise for what he has done and what he is going to do and just being in love with him and knowing that that is your identity in him. For 4 years, we lived out in Pennsylvania, and I was a senior pastor out there and in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Have you ever heard of that, Wilkes-Barre? If you ever watched the show The Office, you ever watch that? Scranton, Pennsylvania. It's the exact same place. They're sister cities. It's like Champaign-Urbana. They act exactly like that. I'm just giving you a heads up. It's true. They did their research very well. So when we were out in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, everything out there, this was the year that the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series and the Eagles were doing good and my teams were back in Illinois still kind of being horrible. And so I felt kind of an outcast. But I remember one Christmas I came home to Decatur with to visit family, and we were walking through the mall in Decatur, and I looked over to my left, and I saw MC Sports, and I was like, there's a Cubs shirt. I'm home. Why did I say that? Because I could relate to the Cubs shirt. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. Out in Pennsylvania, they could care less if you're a Cubs fan. It was my identity. It was who I am. See, one thing about Christianity is this. It's so much easier for people to come and to pick your fruit than for you to hand them your fruit. And when you start to give praise and to say, God, I just thank you, it's easier for people to notice that. And you start to shine in a dark place and people want to come up to you and be like, why are you so happy all the time? I get asked that at work quite often. Why do you smile all the time? It's easier for people to pick the fruit than for me to give it to them. That's tefillah. And see, the purpose of tefillah is this. Continue reading down. It says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful. And I have off to the side in mind just a little note. It says, won't leave. I'm saying that God will never leave you nor forsake you because you are his child. I will never, ever leave my two kids, no matter what they do, no matter what happens in their life, what decisions they make. I will never leave my kids. Why? Because they're my kids. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all and merciful and mercy, and his mercy is over all that he made. All your works shall give thanks to the Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and tell of your power, and make known to the children of man your mighty deeds, and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Tefillah does this. When you start to focus on God, you start to say, you know what? I don't need to worry about this stuff. I don't need to have doubt, because I know who's in charge. I know who's going to take care of me. I know that I know that I know that my God is in control. I know that I don't have to worry about these situations that I see at work on a daily basis. I know that I'm not the one that caused it, but I'm the light that can help them see and get out of it. Are you going to see and help people get out of their darkness? Are you going to let them pick your fruit? Are you going to let them see the glory of God shine through you? If you haven't noticed, I get excited. Because when I talk about Jesus, you can't help but to extol him. You can't help but to be enthusiastic about what he has done in your life. Mark 11:23 says, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to the mountain, go, throw yourself into sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen will be done for him. What authority are you living on? Are you living on the authority of the world or the authority of the word? When you praise him enthusiastically, you can't help but say, oh man, that's just Jesus. You can't help but to know that tefillah brings hope. I had to go through a ton of DCFS training. 13 weeks worth of training. It was the worst training I've ever done in my life. It was boring. But we had to go to Springfield, Illinois, because that's where the training took place. So I had to go there for like 2 weeks. And when you're in a class together with somebody for that long a time, you kind of build a relationship with them. And one of the ladies that was in the class was actually staying at the hotel. I knew nothing of this lady, but I just was talking to her, and all of a sudden she started telling me her history. When you start to praise God and when it starts to be evident to people, you're going to have people talk to you that you have no idea why they're talking to you. There's times where in the store like Meijer or Walmart, people will come up and talk to me and my wife will turn and walk the other way because she knows it's going to be a while. She goes, I don't know them. And I mean, I just sit there and talk. I just do. It's just because who Jesus is. But I remember one conversation we started talking and we started talking about religion and we started talking about who Jesus was. And I told her, I was like, I don't believe in religion because religion has messed people up so much. I believe in that relationship with Jesus. And she has been hurt so much by the church. And I was like, if you are a true believer in Jesus, you will never come over somebody. You will always come under them and lift them up. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus brought hope to people. He did not crush them because of their sin. Oh, I could tell you my sin. But what good is that going to do? But if I tell you how much Jesus loves you, how much Jesus cares for you, my focus is no longer on what I have done, but what he has done. And in this meeting with her, she changed my perspective of life. It was in front of an elevator, and we just started talking, and she started telling me, and what I'm going to say is a little different, okay? Just giving you a little pre-warning that she was getting a divorce from her wife. I have my own views. But I felt the Holy Spirit saying, if you don't show her the love that I have, she will never know. And in front of elevators at the Drury Inn in Springfield, Illinois, I got to lay my hands on her and pray. And she goes, wow. And it's funny, she works for the same agency that I do in another city. And we had another training. It was a few weeks after that one. And she came up and she goes, hey, Andy, how are you? It's because I let her pick the fruit instead of throw it at her. I came up underneath instead of on top. And I tell you what, I started to see this purpose of tefillah just come about. Because now, when you see this, it comes to the purpose of tefillah, you can pass it on to the next generation. I try to pass it on to my kids. If I don't tell people of what Jesus has done in my life, then they will never know. One thing with my job is there is a lot of paperwork, a lot. And one thing that we keep saying at work is you don't know what you don't know, right? If you don't know it, you don't know it, and you can't do it because you don't know it. Trust me, I have missed a lot of paperwork in the past 6 months because I didn't know the certain form to fill out. Do you know that there's 4 different consents to get somebody to go to the doctor? See, you didn't know. I didn't know. And they're like, why didn't you do this consent? Because nobody told me. Did you catch it? Nobody told me. Nobody showed me. Last Easter was one of the most wonderful experiences of my entire life. My 7-year-old, 6 at the time. Let me give you a backstory about Toby. Besides, he's very enthusiastic. He's deaf in 1 year. He's not totally deaf. He has 80% hearing loss. And he's colorblind. And so, on Palm Sunday last year, we were at church. He accepted Christ in Ken's kingdom. We go to the Vineyard Church over in Urbana. And on that night, because our church is so big, they have baptisms like quarterly. And I was like, dude, you want to get baptized tonight? Because it was actually baptismal Sunday. And he goes, yeah. So we went and we talked to the children's pastor. And we got everything arranged. We made sure that he understood what he was doing. And we talked to him. And then that night we went back to Urbana. And it was amazing. It was his time. He got up and I got to help baptize him. We dunked him down. We brought him back up. We went back to the bathroom, and he changed. And it was a kind of a long service because they do a lot of worship and stuff. And we came back to our seats, and he looked up at me and goes, hey, Dad, with kind of a puzzled look. I was like, what? He goes, I can hear. That's powerful. See, you wouldn't have known some of the works of Jesus if I didn't tell you. That's extolling him enthusiastically. that's tefillah. And I tell you what, when I have a bad day at work, I sit back and I remember Easter of last year. And I remember what he did to my boy. And how powerful worship is. And how powerful Thanksgiving is. And I'm going to wrap up with this. Just three little points. Tefillah shows us this. Tefillah shows us that God is a good God. He's not out to get you. He is a good God. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you're going through now, he is the light and he will continue to shine. Tefillah shows his great love. I kind of like what the meditation was this morning, John 10:10. Came to give his life in abundance. I'm going to twist it a little bit. If he came to give his life in abundance, then what does that mean the enemy has done? He came to take it away. I mean, that's how the Bible works. If Jesus did one thing, then that's because he's countering something else. And the last one is this. Tefillah is awe. A-W-E. Awe. Sometimes you can't help but just to sit back and be like, did that just happen? I tell you, when Toby looked at me and he looked up and he goes, I can hear. Did that just happen? And then somebody was praying for my daughter. And she looked down. And she felt warm from her head to her toes. And she goes, my feet were on fire. Wow. Why? Because that is tefillah. Wow. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you so much for today. As we stand here in awe of your presence, let us never forget to be thankful. Because Psalm 100 says, I will enter your courts with praise. Your house with thanksgiving. I will stand in awe because of who you are makes us your children. Amen.